This is the message delivered by Pastor Hon on January 3rd, 2021. The message title is Good Times and Bad Times. It is from Book of Ecclesiastes, Chapter 7, Verses 13 and 14. A Happy New Year to everyone. Let us read the Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, which is the theme scripture passage for 2021. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 13. Consider what God has done. Who can straighten what He has made crooked? When times are good, be happy. But when times are bad, consider this: God has made the one as well as the other. Therefore, no one can discover anything about their future. Since some of you were not able to attend the New Year's Day service, let us read together again the theme scripture passage of 2021 that is hanging on the wall. Consider what God has done. When times are good, be happy. But when times are bad, consider this: God has made the one as well as the other. When I was praying while thinking about 2021 theme scripture passage, this passage captured my heart. I already explained why at the New Year's Day service. To be short, the passage was telling me, when you think something is crooked, consider what God has done. When you feel things have been crooked, do not give up in finding God's message in it. This morning, I'd like us to study the verse, "Who can straighten what He has made crooked?" linked with the verse, "When times are good, be happy, but when times are bad, consider this." By the way, those who have not heard the message delivered on the New Year's Day, you can find the video on the church website. Let us read first Apostle Paul's word from 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 9. Therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan, to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But He said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me." Apostle Paul had a great pain throughout his life. It was a physical pain and an illness. He described his illness as a messenger of Satan because it was tormenting him. We do not know the exact illness that he had. Some scholars said it might have been epilepsy. If it were so, it must have been a serious problem for Paul, not only in his day-to-day life, but also in his missionary career to deliver good news. Just imagine, Paul might be preaching to people, "Please believe in Jesus Christ to be saved. God's word is the power. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life." Then all of a sudden, he would have a seizure, losing consciousness, immobilized while staring at one point in space, falling on the floor, having a convulsion, or foaming in his mouth. What would have happened if he was speaking about God's love a minute ago, and in the next moment he might be attacking someone unconsciously because of the seizure? Considering it was 2,000 years ago, some might have said, before talking about salvation, glory, the way or the truth, take care of your illness first. Or others might have said, you are possessed by a demon. For Paul, who was a missionary to speak in front of many 2,000 years ago, it must have been a pretty serious problem that made him describe it in a strong and a rugged way, like a messenger of Satan. Paul prayed to God 3 times to take it away from him. It does not literally mean that he prayed only 3 times, but many, many times, very earnestly. We do not know how long he prayed. He prayed eagerly, and God gave him an answer. The answer was very clear and simple. It was, "Live just as you are. My grace is sufficient for you." It meant that his illness was God's grace. God even added to say, "My power is made perfect in weakness." Don't you feel like saying to God, "Wait a minute, isn't grace to remove the illness and to heal me? What do you mean that I should live just as I am? What do you mean that this pain represents God's perfect power?" Don't you feel like saying to God, "You must be kidding"? We believers experience something similar in our life. We pray to God for many years to give us something, but nothing seems to happen. We are trying to live our life according to God's word, but our zeal might make our neighbors or even ourselves stumble. We pray to God to remove from us physical pains, hurts in our hearts, pains in our upbringings, but we live our Christian life being persuaded that these pains are God's grace. We believers are persuaded by God every day. Who can straighten what God made crooked? Consider what God has done. And we surrender to God. Experience happiness by surrendering to live our life. What doesn't appear to be God's grace at first turns out to be very unique grace. God's grace does not end only with superficial phenomena. God's grace is so deep and often difficult to understand at first. Of course, God gives us simple grace every day that is easy to understand, but He gives true grace in the perfect form of God's power beyond what appears to be difficult to understand or what appears to be crooked. Paul's physical thorn was exactly God's deep grace. He could not do anything about it, but God's grace there was not to be proud. We wish grace to be something outwardly, like health, smoothness in life, well-being, but God's grace is the inner character gained by training through bad times, like health issues, difficulty, frustrations. It is patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control, love, joy, peace. In order to give such deep grace, God uses the situation of having a thorn as the soil to plant. We wish God would not use the thorn, but without the thorn, we become boastful, proud, envying others, looking down upon others, chasing after only what is stimulating in front of us, fighting, robbing. God is the only one who can transform a thorn to a fruit of the Spirit, and He uses the thorn. We have nothing to be proud of about the fruit of the Spirit. We cannot say, my good education, my good experience, my effort, or my good conditions have made me bear this fruit. The thorn gives no room for us to be proud of ourselves. God uses the thorn to reveal it obvious that it was all by God's work and His grace that led us to the fruit of the Spirit. This is why when times are good, be happy, but when times are bad, consider this. In the Bible, there are many who experienced beyond the crooked situation true grace which perfectly revealed God's power. One of them is Joseph, who is described in Psalm 105. Psalm 105, verses 17 and 18. And he sent a man before them, Joseph, sold as a slave. They bruised his feet with shackles. His neck was put in irons. Joseph experienced unjust, absurd, unreasonable, crooked situations. He was just loved by his father, but he was envied, estranged, and hated by his brothers. He spoke to his brothers what was revealed to him by God in his dream, and his brothers got angry. One day, he was sent by his father to his brothers, who were carrying the sheep in the field far from home. But he was beaten and thrown into a pit by his brothers. Then he was sold as a slave. The brothers told his father that Joseph was dead, being torn by a beast. Joseph was only sent by his father, but he ended up with a situation that was difficult to understand, unjust and absurd. Of course, Joseph himself was too immature and offended his brothers, but it was not to the extent that he should have been sold as a slave or to be treated as dead. After he was sold as a slave, he made a success as a slave, but since he only refused his master's wife, who made a play for him, he was imprisoned. It was not for a month or two that he was in the prison, but for many years. But what the Bible says about this period is the Lord God was with him. So, God was with Joseph, but he was beaten. God was with him, but he was put into a deep pit. God was with him, but he was sold as a slave. God was with him, but he was reported to be dead, being torn by a beast. God was with him, but he was imprisoned. It is difficult to understand, but this is what happened, and it happened because God was with him. When we see the walk of Joseph, we feel that the living as a Christian is not easy. I dare to say, Christian is not something you can become because you want to, in the first place. To become a Christian, one has to make a confession of faith. Even this confession is done in God's hand. A Christian is someone whom God decides to live with, and God selects him or her and gives him or her a privilege as a Christian. The privilege might mean the worst, deepest in the bottom, or at the tip of a cliff in our eyes. The privilege gives to a Christian, the privilege given to a Christian is that God walks with him or her even under such a circumstance. A Christian is someone who gets to know the love of Christ that surpasses human knowledge, who is filled with abundant wealth of God, and who is to be grown to the fullness of Christ. Patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control, love, joy, peace are the spiritual characters that a human being was supposed to have had when he was created, but they were all lost by sin. Those cannot be regained by himself, but they are promised to be recovered in Christians. But it does not mean that Christians are always smiling, rejoicing, happy about their lives. Joseph as well, he struggled. Why me? There's a Bible verse, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and give thanks for everything." This does not mean pretend to be a happy Christian. You may appeal, groan, grieve, be defeated, feel pain. But beyond them, there's a joy which will not perish, a fellowship with glorious God. And we can live a path in which struggles are transformed into gratefulness. So we should not judge others by saying, "Oh, he's a Christian, why doesn't he rejoice? He looks so sad." Or saying, "Why doesn't he pray?" Or, "He does not appear to be thankful." Or we should not blame ourselves for the same reason. That is not what it was meant to be, and it is opposite of what the Bible says. It is not that we have to do something, but we have a privilege to walk in glorious God's grace, even though we might fall down. This is why Ecclesiastes chapter 7 verse 14 makes sense. When times are good, be happy, but when times are bad, consider this: God has made the one as well as the other. Honestly speaking, there are many things in Christian life that we do not know what is wrong and what is right, or what is beneficial and what is not, by our understanding. This is why Jesus says, "Do not judge others." All Christians are in the process of sanctification and glorification that transforms them to the one who are appropriate as God's children. What we can do is to enjoy and laugh when we are happy, and to struggle when we are in pains. But to remember, even in a corner of our mind, that God is working there as well. Of course, Joseph struggled, but in his suffering, when things went well, he rejoiced. Though it might have been a temporal joy, he rejoiced anyway. Consequently, he experienced the fulfillment of God's work beyond his sufferings. Let us look at Psalm 105, verses 19 through 24. Psalm 105, verses 19 through 24. "Till what he foretold came to pass, till the word of the Lord proved him true. The king sent and released him, the ruler of peoples set him free. He made him master of his household, ruler over all he possessed, to instruct his princes as he pleased, and teach his elders wisdom. Then Israel entered Egypt. Jacob resided as a foreigner in the land of Ham. The Lord made his people very fruitful. He made them too numerous for their foes. In the life of Joseph, which appears to be unjust, absurd, difficult to understand, true grace that revealed God's power was steadily progressing. Finally, the grace of God was fulfilled. What God does is so deep. It might not be what we wish to be, but God is the Trinity God who gives us spiritual fruit like to love the weak by knowing the weakness, to love the others who is like a beast because we know we are a beast, to forgive the betrayer by knowing what is to betray, to be thankful about sharing by knowing what is lacking, to reconcile by knowing the conflict. Who can do such a thing? Is there any other gods who can do this? Let us return to Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 14. When times are good, be happy. But when times are bad, consider this. God has made the one as well as the other. This is why we do not look away from the reality in front of us, but watch it. I lost one habit after becoming a Christian. It was a delusional habit to wish. Only if there were a fourth dimension pocket of Doraemon. I think I was always wishing, if only I had Doraemon's a fourth dimension pocket to resolve my problem. I was not able to face the reality before me, and I was wishing a fantasy created by someone else would become the reality. After I met Jesus, something happened, and I was able to think, Lord Jesus is the reality, and the connecting with Lord Jesus, I will be able to enter God's kingdom rather than the illusion of the fourth dimension pocket. After knowing the reality of God's kingdom, I began to think I needed to face the reality. As I got to know the reality of God's kingdom, I began to see the world is full of what is blurred. Of course, I do not mean to look down upon the world, but I was able to see there is nothing in this world that can be my ultimate purpose. In John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. The word truth here in Greek can be translated as not only truth but also reality or a real substance. What we can see in this real world is not reality, but Lord Jesus is the reality and the real substance. Unless you know Lord Jesus, who is real, you do not know what is reality. We are made to believe what we see in this world is the substance, real substance. The world we see with the eyes which cannot recognize Lord Jesus as the true substance. Then reality is blurred, uncertain, and unclear. When we get to know Lord Jesus, we begin to see the reality that God has made the one as well as the other for the first time. When we get to know Lord Jesus, we are given spiritual discernment and determination to face the current time and reality in the Lord's hand. In Japan, from the ancient time, Fortune telling has been a part of a people's lives. The fortune telling is everywhere in the world. Why does fortune telling exist? It is because of our anxiety. What makes people anxious? Since people do not know Lord Jesus, who is real, with a real substance, they cannot face the reality of the present, which makes them anxious. In the Bible, the fortune telling is said to be the work of the evil spirit, and it is used as a tool to make money, but it continues to attract people's mind. It is because in the world, which is blurred, uncertain, and unclear, fortune telling appears to show some direction of our future. When do I get married? Is the business going well? Am I going to get sick? Am I going to get injured? Is anything bad going to happen to me? Or is anything good going to happen to me? Fortune telling seems to forecast what we are uncertain about. Once we understand the trick behind it, however, we understand it is just piling up one anxiety over another. If the fortune telling says that everything will go well, we become lazy, which might make another uncertain situation we have never thought of. Once we pass the period which was said to be good, we become anxious again. If we are told that this will not go well, we add more anxiety on top of the existing anxiety, or we become restless to remove the anxiety, and we might do something unnecessary which might add another anxiety. As a result, fortune telling cannot remove the fundamental anxiety. On the contrary, it will trap you in the anxiety. There is no inner true spiritual growth or a character there. Whether or not things are going well in our life is not the fundamental issue, but whether or not we find God's hand there and whether or not it brings spiritual growth or character. Whether or not things are going well, if one finds God's hand there, we can be happy at good times and consider at bad times. What the world calls spiritual thing is measured only by whether or not things will go well, but all that kind of things will play with us. We are told that what is not going well is the reality. If we do not recognize there the Lord Jesus as the reality and the real substance, we have an illusion that the unrealistic world is the reality. But there is no eternal substance there. God's wisdom and the Spirit of Christ never left Solomon, who wrote Ecclesiastes. He was not a perfect man, but God's Spirit never left him. Solomon writes, God has made the good times and bad times, whether it looks straight or crooked, all are in God's hand. What is important in life is to find God's work in everything, to appreciate when you can appreciate, and consider when you need to consider. In another word, the life is not to sustain the happiness or to remove sufferings. We suffer when the suffering comes, and we enjoy when it is enjoyable. We do not need to compare ourselves with others to judge them, or we do not need to hurt ourselves unnecessarily. As we accumulate the moment by moment, we have a blessing that we will be able to say everything was beneficial when we meet the Lord Jesus face to face. Our Christian life is not flattered by good times or shattered by the bad times. Christian life is the life in which our entry to the God's promised kingdom, new heaven and earth, is assured. This assurance is not shaken. It cannot be removed. It does not disappear. The life with the highest goal that does not change. In the process to reach there, there will be good times and bad times. We appreciate or consider them. All are what we need. So as we move forward this year, let us appreciate and consider all that are going to come to us this year as God's work. Let us pray.